And let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, you have called us into your kingdom, given us great and abundant blessings. You grant us our daily bread and even more. As citizens and heirs of your kingdom, you promise to supply all our needs, and you call upon us to steward your bounty for the eternal blessing and welfare of others. Therefore, send us now your Holy Spirit, so that by your word we would see clearly your will, and by your grace and mercy we would be made willing to do it. This we ask, knowing that you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text for today, we hear the familiar call of Jesus to make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. This is our text in the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Well, last week in our gospel lesson, Jesus called our attention to the reality that there are false prophets that surround us in the world, and he urged us to beware, lest we hear their advice and follow them on that path which leads to eternal destruction. This week, Jesus calls upon us to live as wise stewards of his kingdom, not squandering the great wealth that he puts into our hands, using it for ourselves, but rather to follow his example, using everything at our disposal for the eternal blessing and welfare of our neighbor. As we look at our text, we're reminded that although all wealth and every good thing in the world belongs to Jesus, he willingly emptied himself. Not only of all outward wealth, he was born in a stable, in poverty and meanness. He was born to a man only betrothed to his wife, poor, wrapped in swaddling cloths, laid in a manger. But we're also reminded that in so doing, he merely set aside his divine power. He refused at all times in his life to use his great power and might, his majesty, for his own personal benefit and his own comfort in this world. And then, in dying on the cross, naked, without any worldly wealth or acclaim, Jesus shows us the mind we are to have when it comes to worldly power, prestige, wealth, and possessions. And from the very first, Jesus calls those who are members and heirs of his kingdom to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, trusting at all times that everything needed will be added according to his divine goodness and mercy. Now we recognize this is a tall order. It's one that we are easily persuaded to abandon, so that we would appease ourselves, so we would squander the great wealth that God has put into our hands, spending it on our own pleasures. To illustrate this great sin, we're presented with this parable of our gospel lesson, where Jesus speaks of the unrighteous steward. He abused his position to carve out a great life for himself, and at some point the master catches on, recognizing that the steward has mishandled the master's wealth, and he calls the steward and tells him to hand over the books. He's being removed from handling the master's business. Now, the parallel for us is obvious. Because of the sin in our heart, we can all see we have mishandled the Lord's provisions. We have lived for ourselves in ways that are both great and small. We have not paid as close attention to the kingdom of God and his righteousness as he commands. We have used the great abundance that we have of time, material possessions, wealth, even honor and prestige, in order to serve ourselves, in order to amass for ourselves glory and honor in the world. We have forgotten what our Lord teaches through St. Paul. with regard to the blessings which come to us from God, whether they are spiritual blessings or they are earthly blessings and possessions, what Jesus calls unrighteous mammon. St. Paul asks, what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? The relationship between the master and the steward in the parable is the relationship that we have to God. Whatever we use, whatever we manage in this life, is not our own. It was put into our hands by God himself, and instead of attending to the business of our Father who art in heaven, as Jesus did even at 12 years old in the temple and continued to do throughout his life, we have rather taken the example of the Israelites as they waited for Moses at the foot of Mount Sinai, where the Lord was giving Moses the Ten Commandments. This is what we heard about partially in our text from our epistle lesson. They became idolaters, says St. Paul, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. If that doesn't describe life in the 21st century of America, I don't know what does. But what fruit did they receive for their sin? St. Paul tells us, they reaped death and woe, falling in the desert, not reaching the promised land, being destroyed by serpents and the great destroyer, showing us an example and admonishing even us, so that we would be warned that in the midst of this life, we need to take heed of ourselves. We need to take heed of ourselves, lest we fall into sin and ourselves become destined for destruction, thinking all the while that we stand. But because our Lord knows our weakness, because he knows the great temptations we face in this life, to follow after the false gods of the world, to listen to the false prophets that surround us, pursuing worldly pleasures, Jesus comes today and gives us this great and wonderful warning, so that we know how to escape, so that we can bear up under the temptation to live for ourselves and not squander our master's wealth. After all, this is what Jesus comes to do. He comes to seek and to save, to call out after what has wandered away, so that he might carry us on his shoulders and bring us back to the Father. He also promises us every mercy and kindness. He restores us to the fold, as is shown by the great parable of the prodigal son, which he gives just before our text today. Recall, the son returns to his father and is not only accepted back in the family, but is still acknowledged as a member of the family. And to this end, the Lord calls us to repent of our chasing after worldly wealth, pursuing our own desires and want in this life, to learn how to use what he has supplied for the purposes of his kingdom. For we have been washed and made new in our baptism. We have been given a new and singular identity in Christ Jesus, so that now all of our life is one fully integrated reality. For the Christian, there is no sacred and secular divide. For the Christian, there is only one life, lived in the midst of this world under God. Loving God with our heart, soul, and mind, serving our neighbor, receiving all things from God's bountiful and merciful hand, who gives us everything, only out of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. And then he calls us to use what he puts into our hands, even what Jesus calls the mammon of unrighteousness. Now, on the one hand, because it has passed through the hands of sinners, all the world's wealth is unrighteous, because the world is built on unrighteous gain. In the modern economy, there's no avoiding the fact that what we have in our hands, what we have in our bank accounts, is in many ways ill-gotten gains. The master of the parable commends the steward for his shrewdness. And this sometimes gives us some difficulty, but it shouldn't, because all that Jesus is pointing out is that the master knows the ways of the world. He recognizes a bit of his own attitude and shrewdness in this manager that stands before him. So he commends the steward, because the steward clearly knows the rules of the game, how to play by the rules. And this is why Jesus says the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Because the sons of this world are willing to play by the rules of the game that the world has established. But the Christian refuses to play by the world's rules. The Christian refuses to deal shrewdly for personal benefit from their neighbor. The Christian deals fairly and honestly, not resorting to theft or extortion. And that's why the Christian will always appear poor and destitute in the world, and those of the faith will often struggle. The Christian will always be driven back to the words and promises of Jesus, who tells us, "Do not be anxious or worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. You are of more value even than the sparrows. Your heavenly Father feeds them. So lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not on earth. For in heaven neither moth nor rust destroys, nor do thieves break in and steal. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is the attitude we must have in order to be able to manage the things that God places in our hands properly. But what do we do instead too often? We look at this difference between what we consider real life, the ways of the world, and eternal life in Christ Jesus. We fall into the temptation of serving mammon and the things of daily life, thinking that our spiritual life is somehow separate from these things. And we falsely think that, well, so long as we avoid outright theft, what we store up for ourselves on earth is obtained legitimately, then we're in the clear. We can serve the false god of mammon in our daily life as long as we keep the basic morality taught in the Ten Commandments about theft and coveting and everything else. So we restrict ourselves from loving our neighbor. We avoid doing him wrong, but we fail to do good. We fail to see that it's required of stewards that they be faithful in their administration of their master's property to do good to those whom the master commands. And to do anything else is itself theft. Because the master has given us what we have, not for only our own personal use, but also for the love and care of our neighbor, both in his body and for his eternal welfare. Luther describes it this way: the unrighteous mammon of the parable is anything that we have that is above our needs that we will not use to help our neighbor. Before God, it is stolen goods, because in the presence of God, we are bound to give and lend, to even suffer ourselves to be deprived of what we have. Thus, those who have amassed the greatest wealth are themselves the greatest thieves, because they possess far more than they need, and they give the least possible to others. Here, Luther makes quite an indictment. Thanks be to God, Jesus was not so stingy. Jesus used everything that he had in order to give to us. The divine Son of God possessed heaven and earth, all that it contains. And instead of hoarding it all for himself, he came down and even poured out his own life unto death in order to give us new life, to open to us the kingdom of heaven, to make us co-heirs with him, so that all that is his becomes ours, and all the wealth of the world is promised to us, so that when he comes and raises us from the dead, he will seat us beside himself in all eternity. Besides this, rather than as the master in the parable deposes the steward, Jesus does not strike you dead for your mismanagement. He does not send you immediately where your deeds belong. Instead, he calls you to repent and to receive his mercy. Now, at some point, yes, he will remove you from your management. You will leave this life. But for now, Jesus comes to call you to himself so that he might change your heart and mind, so that he might cause you to learn from him what true management of the world's wealth looks like. That's why he tells us, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. The whole goal and purpose of God in giving into your hands whatever blessings and provisions he does is not so that you can die with the most toys, with respect and the admiration of the world, a winner. St. James makes it plain to us why so often we ask from God and do not receive, why we live feeling like we lack the things we need. James declares clearly, you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, so that you may spend it on your pleasures. And it is for this reason that Christ Jesus comes and calls us this day, giving us the mercy of forgiveness, promising that we can trust him, that we can expect to receive from him not only love and mercy and forgiveness, but the provision for daily life necessary for us to continue. And then he frees us from selfish care. He sets aside our greed. Having forgiven our sins, he cleanses us inwardly and puts down the desire to spend what we have on our pleasures, calls us to use what we have for the purposes of his kingdom. He calls us to make sure the needs of our nearest neighbors are met, our family, those directly around us. He calls us to make sure that the ministry of the word and the sacrament continues so that there's a place and a time, a preacher, and the needed supplies to carry out Christ's ongoing work where he delivers mercy and forgiveness, life and salvation to those who are in the world. And then he calls us to use whatever is in excess to point people to Jesus, his love, his mercy, his kindness for them. Now he knows it's not easy. Knowing how and where and when, having the wisdom needed to know where our goods are used effectively in stewardship is hard. It requires us to study the Word of God so that our hearts and our minds are transformed by the wisdom that comes only from God. So read your Bible and learn to walk in the ways that it declares. St. Peter makes reference to this very thing when in his letter he says, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to add to your virtue knowledge, to add to your knowledge self-control, to add to your self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, to add to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add love. A tall order indeed. It's not something that can get fully achieved even this side of eternity, but we can make progress. As Peter goes on to tell us, if these characteristics are yours and they abound, you will not stand as barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, this diligence, this faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, this is the path we must tread if we are to rightly make use of what God has given us, to make friends for ourselves of unrighteous mammon. But we do this with every hope, with every expectation, because Christ has made us willing and able to walk this path. It will not only be for our good, but for the good of those around us. And those whose life we impact in this way, they too will be brought to eternal dwellings so that they can welcome and receive us when we arrive. So may God grant us repentance to see our unrighteous use of this world's wealth, and by his word, let him grant us repentance and faith so that we trust not only in the forgiveness of sins, but we are also released and set free from selfish cares, and thereby we are enabled to be faithful stewards of what the Lord places into our hands, so that we would not be double-minded, thinking we need to live one way in the church and another way in the world, thinking we can serve both God and mammon. Rather, may God give us the mind and identity of Christ as he promises to do, so that we may serve him always and only in the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.